Tommy James and the Shondells, Crimson and Clover. Whew. Crimson and Clover. All right. I gotta get my own earphones here so I can hear what I'm saying. 1053 WKLO 589-4801. That's the number to call. Participate. Have a good time with us. It's gone smoother than it has in the old days. That's hopeful. Are you taking off, Doctor?
Well, yes. I'll tell you, I've gotten homesick and wanted to maintain one tradition of mine.
Okay.
While I'm here.
All right.
I show my wife's picture everywhere. Get a load of this beautiful woman. I'm going home. Any questions?
No questions.
All right. She's up there painting the house. She's working hard.
Oh.
Then she'll get cleaned up and go work hard at UPS.
But at UPS?
Yeah.
All right. That's great.
Yeah. So I think everybody knows.
The Dallas way. It is the Dallas way, is it not?
I'm headed home.
Oh, we got more music. I think you're going to remember this one, courtesy of Mr. Atcher and Miss Green. Let's hope. There it is.
This is a central.
You might remember this. If Johnny only knew what went on the talk show in those days. Frank Zappa at Joe's Garage. What a classic. We have Chris Atcher and Nikki Green to thank for that one. Nikki.
Do what?
For the first time, right? Mm-hmm. For the first time, Nikki gets to be real on the air. And as we were saying before, all the guys that would be nervous about that are out of town, so Nikki can sit back and relax.
It's only radio.
Right.
I was going to get down and dirty with...
no.
A couple of people,
no,
but I
no.
won't do
That's
that.
Good.
They're going well, and... I'll leave them alone.
And you're going well.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what you've been doing these days.
I am a financial consultant for Bartek.
Wow.
And so.
We're going to talk to Nikki. The guys were sitting here saying we could sell this in this market. No one else would want to take it. Look, here. It was a dud.
Dud?
It was a dud, Tad. Tad lit off a firecracker. This is something usual for the old days.
Don't do it. I beg
you. No.
Not the whole string of them.
These are old and they're dangerous.
they're
we're
wet.
Old and we're dangerous, too.
Wait a minute, guys. Now, I'm in the hot seat here, and you have me cornered between the wall and the
Nikki
door.
Was saying that we could put together an economic package if we wanted to get a frequency. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that frighten these radio programmers in this town?
Economic package.
Yep.
I would like
a frequency myself at least once a week.
Wouldn't it be great to...
It would be nice to be regular, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Wouldn't it be great for all the disc jockeys to own their own station?
Where would the revenue come from?
Well, you would have to submit an application with me, and I would see what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Once we get on the air, where does a working revenue? How do you split a salary 40 ways?
that's where the work comes in.
Communal ownership.
And, we put
most of it back in.
And you also have to work for your ongoing revenue because I want some return for investment.
Well,
and so do the backers.
I sell the books. I've been looking at the books for the last 2 months, the rating books. We can do it. This town has split itself. When you get a gap between the top two stations and the rest of the pack, as far as you have it in this market, there's a big hole in there, guys. There's a big hole from number 9 or number 6 or however, you know, they are all kind of crammed together at that level. And then two leaders in this town are so far in front, and that only happens once in a cycle. So it's time for someone to come in and take a chance, and all we need is the money. That's the whole thing about the business.
So, friends, if you'd like to help out, send your donations to...
honestly, I do have an idea to make a little money out of all this, and Tad, Bo and I had this idea several hundred years ago before all these religious scams. I shouldn't say that.
No, don't say that.
All of these...
Forget you heard that, ladies and gentlemen.
All these people, they got in trouble, asking little old ladies to send all their money to them to get lifetime memberships to vacation places. Okay, before all that happened, we were going to do Brother Murray's Bible Breakfast. And,
oh, dear.
You know, You know, back in the day, this is back in the days before you could actually get on the, either it was illegal or it was immoral to get on the radio and ask people, send me some money. You know, back then it was a love offering or, you know, something to that effect. And that's one way that you know, we could definitely bring in some instant cash.
We had the worst radio joke that I've ever heard in my career. Station call letters in the mountains. WPMS. Format. 3 weeks of blues and 1 week of ragtime.
Yeah.
Worst radio joke I heard. We'll let it there.
I've got one joke that I will share with you tonight that we can talk about on the radio.
All right, let's do it.
It's about an American Indian.
Okay. I've got two Indian jokes. I'll trade you for that one, okay?
All right.
In fact, I'm going to get some music out. Go ahead.
An Indian goes in to see the doctor, and he says, Doc, there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I wake up, and I feel like a teepee.
Right.
The next day, I wake up, and I feel like a wigwam.
Yeah.
One day, I feel like a teepee. One day, I feel like a wigwam.
Yeah.
Doctor looks at him and says, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just too tense.
Yeah,
my grandmother told me that joke.
The brothers would have drummed you out of camp for that one. All right, here's mine. Texan driving through Arizona. Passes an old Navajo guy on a highway. Okay.
Shut up,
Who was playing the bagpipes?
Who was playing the bagpipes? Well, you get it queued up. Wait a minute. Let me put
No, go ahead. Turn it down if we get it queued up.
All right. It's down. All right. It's off the air. Now you here. That's on cue. I don't know if that'll help. Navajo man on the side of the road. His son had just drove the sheep across the highway, and they were kind of milling around the other side of the road. Texan thought he would stop and, talk to the guy. So he pulls the Cadillac off the side of the road, gets out of the car, walks up to the old Navajo who's leaning on the fence watching his boy work. Old man's in his 70s, in good shape. Texan says, these your sheep? Navajo guy says, yeah. Mm-hmm. Texan says, boy, back in Texas, I've got a herd about three times this big. Old Indian looks at him and says, a lot of work. I can understand that. Texan says, is that your house over there? Guy said, yeah. Said, boy, back in Texas, I've got a house about three times that big. The old man says, yeah, a lot of work for your wife, isn't it? I can understand that. Texan says, how far does your property run? Old man points to the mesa back in the distance. Says, my property runs from this road back to the mesa. Texan says, well, my property is so vast that you can't see the house from the road. One day it took me 2 days to drive my pickup truck from the highway to my house. Old Indian looks at him, shakes his head, and said, I had a pickup truck like that one time. It's kind of a failing. I should be giving you this at 589-4801. Can you hear through that?
No.
Okay, that's because I haven't got this thing pushed. Now try it. There you go.
589-4801.
Right.
Okay, I'll leave now and call.
Did they actually let you come over here and do this? Or are you just sneaking out?
What, am I going to get fired or something?
I hope not. The whole city wants to know. Is it really $500,000 and a piece of the action they offered you to stay?
That's it, buddy. That's it. All I got to do is go in there and kiss Bob Shearer's moose feet when I get it out in the morning. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, dude. What's up?
I've heard all you guys on here today, and I'm just telling you how much I'm enjoying this. Not that I never stop listening to my own station. I keep two radios on at once. You understand?
You're one of the guys that can do it, too.
That's why God gave me two ears. I mean, I want to ask you, last time I saw you, you had a tree growing out of your head.
Yes.
Did it die?
The last time you saw me, you didn't even recognize me.
That's true.
The Pegasus Parade.
Oh, you
this year.
Oh, this year.
You'd come down to the staging area.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Dave Ely and I were standing on the street, and I said, let's go haze him. Because you and the blonde had just talked to the head mason who was standing there, or the head shriner who was standing there at the staging area.
I thought you were talking about Wallace Wilkinson. That's who we talked to outside there.
Right.
your governor.
And you stood there, and I looked at you, and you looked at me, and you gave me one of these blank looks, and I said, No, it didn't register. If it would have been in the old days, it would have been all over.
It didn't register. Hey, I'm sorry about that. And I don't want to butt into your on-air time. I'm just listening. I just want to tell you what a fan I was here. I'm listening. Because I wasn't on this station.
No.
But I admire all you guys greatly. All you old guys. Now, we're the same age, aren't we?
Yes.
That's right.
46.
40. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And which school did you graduate from? Tell everybody.
I never went to school.
Yes, you did. Don't give me that.
I went to St. Stephen Martyr Grade School, and I carried the nun's satchel home at in the sixth grade, and they locked me in the basement of the convent and kept me in there and made me, you know, just clean up for them and do all kinds of, clean those nun habits and things. Mm-hmm. I never went to high school.
That was the funniest bit I ever heard on radio, the day that you and your partner over at Q did the bit about looking up the nun's dress and going blind.
That was just, she was flying in a hot air balloon.
That's right.
In a gust of wind.
Yeah.
That's right. We were punished. But, I mean, that was a freak act of nature.
Yes.
He made up this whole thing.
No, he did not. He has good ears and a good memory.
That's right.
Remembered those days.
46.
He
wasn't 46 10 years ago. He's in his late 60s now. Maybe.
The first day that you were on HAS, I tuned in. I said, how is this man going to be able to handle all of this control? You sounded scared.
I was.
You did a tremendous job.
They held a gun to my head the whole day.
And said none of the stuff at QMF.
Don't say that stuff on there.
Right. And yet you survived all of it and have not lost the creativity. You've just changed it a little.
Yeah, it's really nice to get back on the air with you, Mason, because it gives me the opportunity to compare just how closely our voices are.
Our resonant
pitched.
Voices, yes.
They're pitched just about at the same
time. And our senses of humor.
Yeah, that's right.
Otting would have never put us on together.
That's right, because we sound so much alike.
Exactly.
With my deep baritone voice.
I don't know.
Well, what's next? You got bagpipes? You want me to play the saxophone?
No. I want you to play the saxophone, then we're going to talk to another listener.
I didn't bring it over, but the next guy that walks down the, what are we calling this thing? Is the 4th Avenue Mall? The
is
next
that
guy
what
that
it
comes
is?
Down here with a musical instrument, I will commandeer it in some way, shape, or form, bring it in here and perform for
you. All right. We're going to try to get Burbank on. I thought the three of us on together ought to be a riot for the audience.
That'd be fun.
But we have to pay Gary.
But he's a go-go dancer in Cincinnati on Friday night, so you're going to have a hard time.
And you and I have to come up with the money.
That's
the
right.
Station will not pay. You and I will pay if we're going to get him on the air.
That's right.
How much have you got?
I don't have much on me, but I'm willing to sell the garments I'm wearing.
Hold it.
I thought you were going to be wearing an Indian headdress when I came in here.
No. I talked to the chief in the mountains, and he said, no way, not unless they pay you money.
Now, you know what?
I'm
serious. I was driving to work today, Mason, and here you are. You're on here talking about, I do have a dollar or two, but that's
okay.
Not going to be enough.
Well, wait a minute. Everybody, hold it. Wait a minute. I got some more change in this pocket.
Now, Mason,
keep it rolling.
I was driving to
Pete's
work
throwing
today.
Washers at us.
You're just putting all this in your own pocket.
Yeah.
I was driving to work today, and I'm listening to Mason on here, and he's saying, Tad Murray's saying, so what have you been doing? And he says, well, I'm the chief of the sweats, and, you know, as if this is normal conversation. People don't talk this way, Mason.
I never understood that. I thought everyone was doing
no
the same thing.
No one knows what the sweating world, or what if, now you go someplace and you sweat, and what happens to you?
Many things.
I read about this in Newsweek magazine this
right.
week. They're talking about what men do, and there are these little cultures of people that go away to the woods and they sweat in tents.
Right.
But you said this
Wild
to me
man
as if
weekends.
You had said, you know, I work at McDonald's. I mean, I didn't know what you were talking about.
I've been doing it for 5 years.
You go into some tent and people light rocks up and then you sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, the demons come out of your body or what?
No, all the alcohol you drank the night before, whatever drugs you were doing, a lot of psychological malfunctions emerge at this point in time.
So everything comes back. No, don't like those fire. Thank you.
Do it.
So all the demons run out of your body.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's amazing.
I was listening today, and I was kind of fascinated by your occupation of going into the mountains and sweating.
Living.
I'm thinking, God, that's even easier than my job. There
exactly.
aren't many people who get paid to perspire.
And I came back here to try to recruit some people who will hire me to do this for them.
You got a whole hall full of them here.
Exactly. Well, I'm coming over to your station. I figured you guys needed it more than these guys
did. Sure we did. Well, we're only a block away, so come on over whenever you're ready. Milton Metz is over there. He's broadcasting naked this evening himself.
Is he? I always wanted to work a talk show opposite Milton, and now I got a chance to do it.
Actually, Milton takes Friday nights off.
Does he?
You're
crushing me.
I'm sorry. He's a big shot now. He only works 4 days, but Monday through Thursday he is in there, and tonight he was working in the buff.
Well, tell me, are you ever going to get a partner on your show again?
Nope. No, I'm all finished.
You're taking, you're grim. You're taking all the profits for yourself.
I hate radio.
Yes, I knew that.
And as soon as they give me a medical bag, I'm going to start cutting on people.
Are you?
I am. Yeah, for real. I mean,
just frontal lobotomies.
Just whatever they want. I've just always wanted to do that. And I think, you know, going to school is such a waste of precious years. You know,
yes.
You're at your best time when you're. Yeah, 28, 29 years old. Why do you want to waste it being in a classroom? Hey, come on, lie down over here. Let's hose this guy down a little bit, and let me go on and move some of your glands around. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't hurt much.
Well, I have a wart down here in a certain portion of my anatomy.
I don't work on that. I want to do the heavy duty stuff.
Okay.
But I want to be a surgeon, but I don't want to waste, you know, 20 years of my life going to school. So as soon as somebody gives me a medical kit, that's where I'm going next.
There it is.
I'm done with radio.
The number 589-4801 for those of you in the medical profession who would like to give this young man a job this evening. And he
will there's some surgeon out there who's tired or wants to go to the lake this weekend and doesn't want to be on call
right.
at the hospital. And, you know, I could go on there and do it. I mean, you put a mask on, they're not going to know it's not you anyway.
Certainly, in gloves.
Sure.
They'll never get your fingerprints. They'll never know who you are.
And like I said, I did all right in anatomy in school. I know pretty much where things go, so trust me. And if things get out of hand, there's always Band-Aids and crazy glue. So, you know, there's a way to fix everybody.
Sure. Well, Gary found that out. Gary's a dentist.
What are we talking about, fixing people?
We're talking...
I was going to be a surgeon. He's asking me if I'm going to stay in radio. I want to be a surgeon immediately.
I think every man needs at least three careers.
Okay. Well, I'm doing the sweats. And I'm doing radio.
I got one more to go.
So okay. Here he says that I'm doing a sweat. You picture a guy in his basement, you know, sewing sweatpants together. Here, who wants to buy these Big Mama sweatpants?
Sure, we do that too.
The Big Mama pantyhose getting down like an atomic reactor and eating gunpowder soup and biting nails.
That's right. You have to have all these little side gigs in order to make a living in radio and in what we're doing. In surgery, the same thing. Surgeons do a lot of things. Rock and roll musicians. Surgeons are rock and roll musicians.
Sure.
Nuclear physicists.
They're all there.
That's it.
WKMO.
Oh, I heard it.
Okay, let's get somebody on the air. Let's try to find someone articulate to put on the air this evening. Hello? Hi, wait a minute, I'm going to push this button. Hi, did you wait for us? They didn't wait for us. Okay, I'm sad about that. Let's see about this one. Miners comes in, sits on the show, and the whole thing goes to hell. Hello? Is there...
I see all those lights lighting.
There are lights lighting up. Look, the line is there. The button is on. The cue switch is off. Oh, there it is. Hi.
Mason.
Yes.
Are you there?
Sure.
We can hear you now.
Okay. Hey, how about you and me and a bald-headed guy named Terry.
Yeah.
Ride down the road, down on Main Street, Middletown.
Okay.
And knock down a telephone pole.
I'm ready for that. We did it once before, didn't we, Steve?
Yeah, we did.
And, hey, we got away with it.